This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
When it comes to hiring, don't go searching for the one. Just meet your match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Despite what their moms told them, they just aren't talented enough for radio. Unfortunately, anyone can have a show these days. Sean.
Well, I'm pretty hard to figure out sometimes. In fact, I can't even figure myself out sometimes, so don't you try to.
Joe.
You're an idiot. And really, a disloyal person.
This is the Cuse Militia. Those two unapologetically biased, orange-blooded homers, Sean and Joe.
It's the most bullshit thing I've seen in 30 years.
Welcome, orange men and ladies. Happy Monday. How could I forget that it was Monday? This is the Cuse Militia with Sean and Joe at Cuse Militia on the socials. Go there, join the militia. Live on Twitter X Spaces at some point today. And, of course, as you all know, we missed a game, and like I said, that's going to happen here and there throughout basketball season. Basketball season's tough. It's the toughest part of the year, especially going into the spring for me particularly. So, anyways, this isn't our day job, is my point. So since we can briefly, I mean, I've got about three things to say about Duke, and we can, like, that's so over and done with. I'm sure everybody's probably forgotten about it, but just a couple of notes in regards to some of the 2024 class. There was this Marcellus Barnes that committed over the weekend, four-star guy, DB. And he did, you know, he did one of those fancy to-dos in announced live. So that was a big one. And I don't think, if I remember right, I'm not sure if we talked about Emmanuel Ross, wide receiver. So I don't
think. Yeah, we did. He's been there for a little bit.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Okay.
Yeah.
So, you know, still racking him up and knocking him back. Old Fran is on the on the camp in the recruiting trail. So anyways, I was gonna say
he got a couple of them, right?
Campaign trail, but I'm sure he'd get all of Syracuse to vote for him, no matter what that's about.
Yeah. So I think the last guy we talked about was Joshua Miller, right?
The last guy that was a transfer, though. So
yes.
Yeah, that was the last transfer we talked about was Joshua Miller, and then there's.
Were you about to just starting to talk about transfers? Were you about to get into that?
Well, there's Weatherspoon, Deion Wilson Jr., and then Deuce Chestnut came back, obviously. And Deuce Chestnut one for me is a little bit. I like it, of course. I mean, the dude's talented, and I just don't know why he left to begin with. You know, yeah. Because he could have been, because we talked about this when it happened. We talked about this earlier this year. We talked about this when, and here's another thing. John Wildhack takes a shot at the guy pretty much without naming his name. And to some extent, and he still comes back. I mean, that just goes to show you on one hand, the power of Fran. But the other thing is what transpired to even ignite the flame under his ass to hightail it out of here? I mean, was it, had to been an NIL money or something to that regard. I got to imagine. Didn't play a lot. He went to LSU, right? Didn't play a lot. Ended up like kind of disconnecting from the team late in the year. Late in the season, this past season, and then now he's back. I welcome him back. I just don't. If I'm being honest, I don't need any drama on the team. That's all.
Yeah, I mean, and I get that point because I think that we did speculate a little bit with that because obviously we know that he was kind of involved in what transpired with the LaQuinn Allen thing with that story when that came out. Right,
there was almost immediate transfer.
And then you know we assumed he went for the NIL money, and you know I think this is just one of those things where grass sometimes isn't always greener, and sometimes you know he was closer to home, he was closer to you know more people that he you know knew and stuff like that. So to me, that's just kind of what that screams. You know, I don't know how much drama went on or anything with LSU, but at the end of the day, he's from Camden. You know, and so is Fran and everything. And I'm sure that Fran isn't just giving him a free pass on the way back. I'm sure Fran had the conversation with him. Why'd you leave? Why you want to come back? What happened? And, you know, we have talented secondary. We brought in guys. You know, the guys we brought in last year were starting to play good at the end of the year, so much to the point where Jeremiah Wilson went and transferred. So I definitely welcome him with open arms, and I think that he's going to come back and he's going to work harder for a guy like this because obviously they've known each other from the same place. Sure that their you know paths have crossed in recruiting. So, I definitely would be willing to bet Fran Brown didn't promise a starting spot. Almost, you know, I mean, I make him come back, make him work for it. He's got some things that he's got to work back to, but. Yeah, I mean, I definitely welcome him in open arms, especially, you know, that just makes that room talented. So, and as far as when it comes to drama, I think these coaches are going to be able to nip it in the bud. So, yeah, just coming back to more people that he knows, more, you know, people from New Jersey and people he has relationships with. So hopefully that works out.
I mean, I think all in all, it will have to. I don't think Fran Brown's the kind of guy who's going to put up with any extracurricular, and you know there's going to be some more discipline. And you know I think Dino talked a really good game with the kind of not necessarily discipline but like culture or like Ohana and this and that. Yep. But at the end of the day, I don't think there was a ton of discipline in regards to, I mean, I'm just speculating, but yeah. I'm speculating based off of what we see. Right. So, I mean,
yeah. And I think that there's a lot of people too that will directly correlate mistakes and penalties on the field with that as well.
Oh,
right?
Well, yeah. So, I mean, ad nauseum, we talked about that. Sure. Yeah.
So, I mean, I that's a fair assessment. That's a fair assessment. So, yeah, like I said, I'm willing to bet he wasn't guaranteed anything, that he's going to come and he was going to work. And I think that he wants to work for this guy. And I think that he, overall, I mean, probably liked it better at Syracuse than he did at LSU. And that's why he didn't make it there and he came back here. So, but the Marcellus Barnes guy, the reason why that was a big one is because, I mean, he picked on national television during a high school All-American game, you know? So, number one, he was a high school All-American. I think he's ranked, you know, in the nation as a top 200 player, but also too, I mean, that's big recognition as we've gotten a lot since Fran Brown, right? With McCord and some of these other guys, King Joseph Edwards. But to be on live TV and have Syracuse's hat next to Ole Miss and Georgia and this guy pick him, I think that's a big deal. So, definitely welcome him into the, onto the team. And, this past weekend, we had visits with a bunch of offensive and defensive linemen. I know that they were talking about it on I think Brian Higgins' show, and Mike McAllister came on, and they said something like there was like a combined like 2,300 pounds of offensive and defensive linemen that visited this week. But Before that, we did get Demetrius Witherspoon, transfer offensive lineman.
This dude's huge, right? He doesn't have
6'7", 335.
From Howard? Is that where
he's from? Yep, he's from Howard. Kind of looks like the Buffalo Bills, but
it looks identical to the Buffalo Bills logo. What do you mean, kinda?
Right. Right. So, but this guy, obviously, you know, this is something that we need. We've seen how he's hit the portal, and Fadil Diggs, another guy we're about to talk to, Tank Wilson Jr. But yeah, Demetrius Wilson, he's 6'7", 335, and he was an HBCU All-American. So he was the best of the best, and I know that it's a lower level of competition, but you know, there's guys that can play 3-4 years there, grow, and then be you know, good enough to come up to the Power Five and contribute. So I think that's a big get, and especially adding that depth and that experience. And then again, I mean, we got Fadil Diggs, big guy from Texas A&M, but Tank Wilson Jr. From New Mexico State, another transfer. He's a D lineman, and he's 6'5", 300 pounds. That's a big boy. And you know, we always talked about how we had to play some of these gimmicky, you know, 3-3-5, and how it's tough to get, you know, recruit offense and defensive line, especially up in Syracuse. And now we're starting to finally see Fran Brown kind of hit those areas. And we talked about it too, right? Like, you're going to get Kyle McCord, you better get some guys to help. So bringing in the Joshua Millers and the Weatherspoons on offense and the Tank Wilsons and the Fadil Diggs on defense, I mean, that's instantly giving us, you know, size that we really haven't had in those positions for quite some time. So, I mean, 6'5", 300 pounds on the line. It's a big boy.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, that's going to help. And, yeah, it'd be interesting to see what gets put together. Like I said, you know, it's going to be hard to wait.
yeah.
You know what I mean? I wish almost that.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to enjoy my summer and all that stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, this is one of the more exciting classes. You look at Fran Brown. I mean, Seth, if you look, you know, and obviously we know that numbers ultimately don't mean anything. They got to come in and they got to produce and they got to work for it. But 7 out of 8 of our highest ranked recruits have come from Fran Brown in less than a month and a half of him being here. So,
well, if I'm going to play devil's advocate with that, the guy was recruiting, he's been recruiting, he hasn't stopped recruiting just because. You know, I mean, you have to expect a level of some of that to follow him no matter where he went.
Oh, 100%. Plus the excitement, you know, and you have Elijah Robinson come from Texas A&M too, who obviously is a great recruiter. So you get those guys.
You had a lot of things in motion that, you know, contribute to a lot of things in a little amount of time, because these things have been being worked on long before he even probably knew he was coming to Syracuse. So, and for the both of them.
Well, that's what you do as a recruiter, right? I mean, as a recruiter, as freshmen and sophomores in high school, you're going in there and you're creating, you know, relationships with these kids, getting them to trust you, you know, eventually getting their parents and the people around them to trust you, that you're the one that's going to be able to take care of them at the next level and, you know, get them to where they need to be success-wise, whether that's prepping them for the NFL or prepping them for life. And obviously, you know, with Elijah Robinson and Fran Brown, even Nick Williams to a certain point, you know, that's what they have. That's what they've been doing. And obviously you can see the momentum, and obviously the fact of them being on the road and having these relationships. You can see, obviously, you know, we are definitely getting the fruits of that labor right now. So.
Yeah, absolutely. So The Syracuse at Duke debacle. I mean, if you want to call it that, I can call it that. I think it's the trite tale of two halves, only in a negative way. Right. I mean, Syracuse plays an absolutely stellar first half, right? There was some mistakes. There was enough turnovers there where you can point a lot of fingers. There was some issues there, but at the end of the day, Duke wasn't hitting threes. And also, Filipowski was shut down. Second half, Duke makes the adjustments. You get a couple guys get hot. McJane and a couple other guys get hot. McJane. A couple other guys get hot. And, you know, they hit 8 for 8 in the second half. And Syracuse couldn't keep up. And I think every team, if you want to, I mean, lose their composure slightly, speeding the game up on themselves, creating more turnovers. A lot of those turnovers turned into open three-pointers. And it just turned into, at the end of it, a 20-point loss, very reminiscent of the Maui Invitational. And, you know, it just, as far as Syracuse has come and as good as they are and as talented as they are, it just goes, it just puts things into perspective, brings us down to earth a little bit. And like, okay, look, this is not who we are yet. Like, there's work to be done. And unfortunately, in the world of basketball these days, if you ain't paying, they ain't playing. And you got guys on this team, one in particular, who we all know and love, is not going to be here next year. So the development has got to happen now with what we got. Because next year, I mean, yeah, you got Donnie Freeman and what's his name coming in. But we only have two recruits for next year, right? So
Elijah Moore.
Elijah Moore and Donnie Freeman. So both four-star guys, both excellent recruits. But, you know, I still think this is a tournament team. It's going to be interesting to see. I we're just about halfway through the season, too, already. I mean, it's damn close. So, you know, there's a little bit of time to obviously get things going. I wouldn't say that it was, like I said at the preview, I just wanted to be competitive with it. And it was for a certain amount of time. And it just, then it was, as soon as it wasn't competitive, it was done. And you saw the train just, you know, go straight off the tracks. And it's unfortunate, but I guess because I had higher expectations, that's why I was a little upset about it. But to be expected, I think, at this point against that team in that arena.
Yeah, that's the expectations to me. It came in the first half, and the fact that we played them to a two-point, you know, to a two-point game at halftime. But realistically, this is kind of indicative of how we've played against every team that's kind of been like this. I know that Virginia's lost a couple here recently that's kind of pushed them out a little bit, but Virginia at home is almost impossible to beat. So
yeah, I didn't even lump Virginia into that, because that was a disaster kind of from the get-go almost. So it wasn't the games that even the Maui Invitational that we watched, where they really hung there strong until they just couldn't. I mean, the cream rose to the top in those three games: Tennessee, Gonzaga, and Duke.
Yeah. You know, yeah, and those are the biggest. Yeah, those are the highest rated, you know, teams as far as the teams that we've played. So yeah, obviously, it's, I don't want to say that it's not surprising and make it act like, oh, you know, it is what it is. But I mean, this is just what we've seen against, like, just really good teams this year.
Well, Duke's had our number too. It's at 9 in a row. So
yes, yeah, I mean, something like that. They've been, yeah, and they're, you know, like I said, they're a good team. And realistically, so to your point, I mean, they were missing in the first half. You know, they probably could have been up a little bit more. And there's a couple, you know, bad mismatches there. And then obviously, you know, you don't expect the team to shoot what 75-78% from the floor, like, and go 8-for-8 from the 3-point line in the second half. But sometimes that happens, and when that happens at home, good luck, especially if you don't have a big lead. Oh, so
Syracuse had the crowd taken out of it in the first half.
Then you have to come out in the second half and kind of keep that going, you know. Yeah. And I think they did for a little while, but not long enough, and then it was pretty much like you said, they start to press, you get down a certain amount, and now you start going a little bit faster, trying to do stuff that, you know, you don't normally do. There were some bad turnovers. I thought Chris Bell had a couple bad turnovers. I mean, at that level, getting caught in the air and throwing turnovers like that, I mean, that's
everybody kind of struggled, man, to be honest with you.
I mean, yeah,
Malik Brown had a day. I mean, Malik Brown was fantastic. He shut down Filipowski in the first half. And what? How many minutes did McLeod get? I mean, three? None? I mean, what was it? Yeah, seven. So, you know, Malik Brown, I think, speaking of, and we'll just transition right into Boston College. I think he's going to be needed there. The all-time series between Boston College and Syracuse sits at 57-26 in favor of the Orange. The Orange They've just dominated this series in the last like 10 years. They're on a 10-game win streak right now. And 17-3 in the last 20 meetings, dating back all the way to 2014. So totally handling Boston College as of late. Last year, two times winning. First one, Mintz, Gerard, Edwards, Bell, and Williams. Gerard with 24 points, Williams with 11 rebounds. And then the later game, 77-68, Mintz, Gerard, Edwards, Bell, and Brown, and Edwards with 27 points. So handle them pretty easily both times. The Syracuse Orange Men and the Boston College Eagles first met in 1959. The Eagles would win the first three games in six of the first nine. Since then, the Orange have had a significant upper hand, according to orangehoops.org. The two teams met eight times in the Big East tournament, with Syracuse leading the series 5-3. The two teams had six seasons where they played each other three times in 1 year. Overall, Syracuse and Boston College were 34-17 in Big East games. And this is why I love these games. I love the Pitt games. I love the Boston College games still. And that's what pains me when you talk about breaking out of the ACC and doing something else. We still at least have some of this familiarity from the old Big East schools. So Boston College, they're going to play about eight guys or so for the most part. You'll have four guys averaging double digits coming into this game for BC. That group's led by fifth-year senior 7-foot forward Quentin Post in his third year with Boston College. He was a transfer from Mississippi State a couple years ago. He's averaging 18 points a game, an obvious problem down low for the Orange, but an even bigger problem is that he can shoot, and that was what I was alluding to with Brown. Probably going to see some more minutes out of him again against Boston College. Currently, 21 for 45 from three is Post, and that's good enough for 46.7%. Another problem, Charleston Southern transfer, Caudell Harris, 6'3", junior guard. He's averaging 15.5 points a game. This is his first year with the BC squad. He's another guy that can hit from outside. 34 for 75 on the year so far. Good enough for 45.3% from behind the arc. So, you know, when we've talked, I mean, just seeing what Malik Brown has done so far this year against big guys, I'm pretty impressed so far. He hasn't been handled down there as badly as he could or would, or, you know, maybe should be in some cases. But the outside shooting, again, Boston College has got some of that. And, you know, they don't really have like this anything that really sticks out to me on their schedule as far as wins. I mean, nothing. I mean, I could be wrong, Joe, but I don't see anything. They took NC State into overtime and lost.
NC State's been pretty good this year.
No, I know. That's what I'm saying. They took them into overtime and lost 84-78. What's funny is they also played Wake Forest and lost 84-78. So both of their ACC losses, the one win came against Georgia Tech this past weekend, but both of their losses were 84-78 losses. So they did grab their first ACC win this past Saturday. And, you know, in the net, BC's 74. So at home, this is going to be a quad two game. Again, this is a quad one game for Boston College on the road. So another quad two game, which is, you know, another something to keep an eye on. And when Joe and I were just talking before we came on, Oregon's one spot away from becoming a quad one win. If Oregon can, we need to root for Oregon. If they can continue doing what they're doing, they are going to jump up into a quad one win. And if I remember right, Syracuse hasn't had a quad one win since they beat UNC in the ACC tournament right before it was shut down by COVID, if I remember right. Is that right?
Yeah. God, if it ain't right, it's close.
At least a ranked team. I would have to look, but I just remember that being that their last big win, and then everything was shut down, and that's why it's stuck in my head, because we were about to play Louisville and win the ACC tournament. That's what was about to happen, and it got shut down. So anyway, Joe, with what I said, I mean you could add a couple other guys into the mix here and whatever you think, but you know, give me your thoughts on, first of all, the guys that can shoot. Because that tends to be our problem. And, you know, obviously we got home field advantage. and it's Boston College, and we've had their number. We've beat them. Did I say, was it 10 times in a row so far?
That was 9 or 10. You said
it's it's 10 times in a row now, but 17 out of the last 20. So they're tired of us winning too, by the way. And they've got a decent team. And like I said, not there's not a glaring win on here, but that doesn't mean they're not talented.
And that's kind of where I was going to go with it, because they actually do have a quad one win against St. John's.
Oh, so gosh, you're kidding me.
Yeah. So actually, you know, they have a quad one win and we don't. So, yeah. And but when you look at the net rankings, though, you know, we are, what, 0-4 in quad one games. Mm-hmm. But we are 2-0 in quad two. And I think we're 5-0 or 4-0 in quad three and 2-0 in quad four. So the only losses that we've had are from quad one teams. You know, you flip it on Boston College, they're 1-1 in quad one. But they're 1-2 in quad two. And they're 3-1 in quad three. Then 5-0 in quad four. So half their wins have been against quad four teams, and they have a loss all the way down to quad three. So that just kind of tells me that they've just been, you know, a little inconsistent. That's all. And, you know, that's kind of par for the course of the team like this, because realistically, a lot of these guys are sophomores, you know, first 1 or 2 years in. They rely heavily on Quinton Post and, like you said, Claudel Harris, the transfer from Charleston Southern. He was averaging 17 points over Charleston Southern last year. So he's a junior, Quentin Post, fifth-year senior. So those guys are your experience. Jaden Zachary's been there a while. He's got some experience. But after that, it's just a lot of guys stepping up into new roles. Devin McLaughlin just had 30 points against George Tech to come back and win on Saturday. Donald Hand Jr., Prince Alegbe, Mason Madsen, who a couple years ago transferred from Cincinnati. He can shoot every once in a while, but like you said, they're only going to bring in 8 guys, and they're not like a huge or a tall team. But just even looking at like a Quinton Post, one thing I noticed is that he is second on the team as far as average assists per game. So the offense runs through the Jaden Zacharys and the Quinton Posts, and then, you know, they expect Claudel Harris to help score. But then again, you get somebody like Devin McLaughlin who's averaging 10 points a game and he gets 30. Then, you know, you're going to end up winning a game like that against Georgia Tech. They ended up shooting 12 of 23 from the three-point line. So, again, So, you know, it's just one of those things where I don't know if we know what kind of Boston College team we're going to get. Like you said, they're improved. They're much improved, but they are young. And
they're Boston College.
And they're Boston College. Yeah, I mean, they can beat us is what I'm saying. They have the talent to show up and beat us if we lay an egg. But to me, when I look at their net ranking and game to game, it's kind of up and down, not consistent. Versus when you look at Syracuse, it's like, okay, well, unless we're playing. Yeah. I mean, I'm looking at it as a Syracuse fan, like unless we're playing like a tournament team, then I'm expecting to win at this point. So that's kind of where I'm at with that.
Yeah, I mean, I would tend to agree. I think it's going to come down. The year is going to come down to whether or not Syracuse can defend the 3-point line. Malik Brown has done a pretty good job of doing what he does down low. I mean, he had a huge game against Duke. You know, I mean, those are the points in the paint, and what he does defensively is pretty damn good. And it's not easy to do at all. And unfortunately, these days in college basketball, and you're a big man, you got to do it all.
Yeah,
and that's why McLeod is just not getting the minutes right now. He's just a rim protector. That used to be all you needed to do back in the day. Mm-hmm. It's not the case anymore. You've got to be a Filipowski. You got to be a Quentin Post. You got to be a PJ Hall. PJ Hall. Yeah, you've got to have it all, and defensively as well. It's like the most complete package is your center now,
right?
Or well, your big forward or whatever.
The down low big guys, you know what I mean? Like you can get away with it if you got some offensive moves. You look at, Zach Edey from Purdue, that guy's huge and they feed him the ball all the time. And he leads the NCAA in free throw shots, you know?
And by the way, Malik Brown, not bad. I don't know what he is. I can look it up right now, but that's a good point because he's excellent from the line.
Oh, Malik Brown. I know. I'm just talking about the amount of times they go. Like, Zach Edey's gone to the line more than Judah Mintz this year. So,
Okay.
But at the end of the day, you know, Purdue, they've been really good teams throughout the regular season for a long time, and they've had – they're known for their big guys down low that might not necessarily be able to shoot from the outside.
And, he's, you know, 16 for 18, by the way, which is not getting there a lot, but he's good.
Yeah. But last year, Purdue lost to a one seed, and Purdue usually doesn't get too far in the tournament. So overall, for a chance to, you know – go through the tournament and have a chance for a national championship. Yeah, I mean, that the day of the just the down low big men, I think, are going away. And they have to do a little bit more. And when you do have those players that can stretch the floor, then it just makes it that much more difficult, as you can see, a la our situation. Because anytime we play somebody that can stretch the floor and shoot threes, it's going to be tough to justify having Nyheim McLeod on the floor.
Yeah, well, we said in the beginning of the year it was just going to be, for Nyheim in particular, it's going to be a matchup issue. It just feels like now that we're in full force ACC play, the matchups are relatively close.
Yeah, and I didn't know, and I'm not saying that he can't play at Syracuse. I'm not saying that. And we've seen centers, you know, grow through our program. So, you know, it's not – we've seen Jesse Edwards and some other guys that weren't too great the first couple of years.
Right.
But
Jesse Edwards is not usually – you know, getting back on a three-point shooter or coming up on a three-point shooter either.
Well, we don't know, right?
What,
he played zone the whole time. Yeah, and that was my whole point was when we got Nyheim McLeod, I still wasn't sold at that point that we weren't going to be playing 2-3 zone. Because I'm thinking to myself, like, I don't know how he's going to help us man-to-man if we're going to be playing man-to-man. So when we picked him up, I thought we were going to play a lot more man or 2-3 zone than we actually are. And now that I see that we're not, I mean, I feel like he would be a perfect center for a 2-3 zone.
Yeah.
But, I mean, right now it's just, you know, you play against these type of centers that can – that are athletic and can dribble and drive and shoot threes. That's tough for a guy like Nyheim.
Yeah, well, you know, it's going to be another game where I think we're going to be puckered up, but being at home, I like to see this one at home, by the way. I mean, they're going to play again, and not only that, but as the ACC play continues, got Boston College, North Carolina, and then we're going back to Pitt to play them. So, of course, they want revenge. We handled them pretty good, and it doesn't get any easier. So,
no.
Doesn't we play Clemson still twice to go? UNC again. We're gonna have to play Boston College twice. I mean, it's brutal, and all of the breaks and all that's done. It's pretty much pedal to the metal now, except for no. I mean, it's pretty much pedal to the metal. I mean, we're gonna be getting after it.
Yeah, and when you talked about it earlier too, you were talking about the growth of the team, right? And bringing up Judah and how he's not going to be here probably next year. And this, I mean, at this point, we're in a situation where we shouldn't really have to worry about that, you know? I mean, we need to be able to grow and develop and get to just to a place to where we can be a tournament team. Obviously, you know, our eyeballs tell us, you know, that we're a tournament team, but hopefully our resume reflects that at the end of the season as well. So,
Because
at the same time, we're only bringing in two guys, right? But we lose Judah. Who knows? We might be losing a couple of other guys to transfer portal. But nowadays, with transfer portal stuff, I mean, we can replace guys. So
it's like Amazon now.
We'll worry about that when the time comes. Right now, we got Judah and we got talent. It's just, you know, figuring out the pieces, getting these guys confidence, and trying to get over that hump of being able to play a full 40 minutes against the tournament team.
Yeah, being able to hang with the blue chips, and it's another thing too. I mean, we can look at the Oregon game and keep our eyes look back at the Oregon game, keep our eyes on that, and hope that it becomes a quad one win. But at the end of the day, I mean, wouldn't it be nice to go beat a North Carolina or even an NC State, which is right on the cusp of being a ranked team, you know what I'm saying? And
yeah, and that would be nice if Oregon did get us that, but at the same time, in your heart of hearts,
was it really? Right?
I mean
they had a couple of guys out.
If they got healthy and they actually got up to a quad one win like game, they were like a for sure tournament team. I feel like you got to put it. I mean, yeah, you got to play
what
you got.
There.
I get it, but there's an asterisk on that thing.
I agree.
There's an asterisk on that sucker. So
I agree. It's not anything to like sit here and you know, do shots together about.
Yeah, no, we won, and I'll take the W. And I mean, quads, they don't look at that type of stuff. And on paper, yeah, but you got a quad one win. But
yeah, and we're getting, it's quad season. We're in quad season now. So it's something to keep an eye on. LSU was another one that had a big jump after beating, I think, Texas A&M, right? And then, so they're far enough behind right now where, you know, they've got a ways to go. But it would just be nice, I'm saying, to grab one outright, like from the get, you know, because you beat a Clemson, an NC State or a UNC, and that's going to be a quad one win for the rest of the season, most likely. I mean, it's not something you got to be like, oh, well, you know, North Carolina, what happened to them? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, anyways, all right, Joe, let's go ahead. Let's do the old rigmarole here real quick. I don't even have last week's. I must have tossed them. Anyways, we were both really wrong because we had the game within, like, I think I had it within six.
My guess was within 1 point.
Okay, yeah, well, that's not good. Look, at home, I'm expecting
good at damn halftime.
I'm expecting Syracuse to show up. I'm expecting Syracuse to keep the win streak alive against Boston College. And no one sucks as bad as Boston College, except for Pitt. So sucks to suck. I think that Syracuse handles Boston College at home. This is, especially in football, has been heating up, and I'd like to see it continue with basketball. But I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to say Syracuse 82-78. Syracuse.
Oh, pretty good one. Damn, you think we're in the 80s?
I mean, why not? Home game. Joe had Duke, yeah, that's right. Listen, David, do you write these down, bro? This dude's got a memory like an elephant.
He said Joe had 79-78.
Joe had 79-78, Sean had 85-78. So I thought I had a 6-point spread. I had a 7-point spread, so my bad.
You win.
Way to keep us honest, David. It's my guy right there. What do you got, Joe? Spit it out.
Yeah, so
I don't even need to write these down, apparently. So
statistically, I think we're pretty close when you look at the metrics. This is weird because it's a game where it could easily be close, like you say, or I think there's a way that we could win this by double digits. You know what I mean? So, but I think that this is a pretty good matchup for us, considering that Boston College's offense is better than their defense. Our defense is better than our offense. So I think that we'll be able to get some guys going on offense that haven't been able to get going against teams like,
I mean,
Duke and Virginia and stuff like that. So,
but, I mean, we're waiting for Bell and Taylor to come back. I mean, I'm waiting for him to come back to three-point land.
I mean, yeah. Because if they don't, who's going to?
Nobody. Be my guess.
Well, yeah, last week, Quadir had two threes and that led the team.
Yeah, I mean,
Quadir?
That's not doing
Quadir it. Quadir hit one, Malik hit one, and Starling hit one.
Like Starling's three, an option there. Starling's been okay there.
He's been getting a little bit better.
But I mean, 1, 2, and 3, that's not going to cut the mustard, bro.
Yeah, but I think I'm right there with you. We need to stop Quentin Post. And I know Jaden Zachary last year kind of gave Judah fits, and he can kind of get in his head a little bit, but I think Judah's grown and gotten, you know, matured a little bit more. But yeah, dude, I'm kind of right there with you. I'm going to go a little bit lower, though. I'm going to go Syracuse 78, Boston College 71.
Okay. All right. Look, we'll try to get back here Thursday. We'll try to get back here Thursday. Talk about Boston College. Talk about UNC. I thought we were going to get back here. I don't even remember what it was, Joe. Last Monday? I don't even remember. Anyways, it doesn't matter.
It's a week off. You know, we had stuff going on.
This is our first show of 2024.
To the Carolina Panthers.
Well, that's right. We were supposed to go yesterday, and Joe had better things to do, apparently.
I'll tell you. It's fun to go with your, you know, the work when they got the, you know, the box, you know, the all-you-can-eat-and-drink situation and great seats. But Carolina's just awful. and that was like the most boring game I think on TV yesterday. There wasn't even a touchdown. It was 9-0.
Someone fumbled onto the end zone. Did that happen? Thought I saw that.
Yeah. Yeah. DJ Chark for Carolina. Yeah. He was going into, it ended up being a touchback, but he was going into the,
right. That's what it becomes.
The end zone, and he fumbled into the end zone, and defense got the ball, and it was a touchback. And then there was a touchdown later on that Carolina had. They got called back for like a holding or a false, I don't know, something stupid.
I watched about 2 seconds of that game, and I watched Jets in the Patriots. Oh, real quick. Well, I watched the Jets and the Patriots just for fun. Because it was Snowball 2024.
Yeah, yeah.
But I was looking and I was rooting for my Bills last night really hard, Joe. And my guy Josh Allen, he didn't look so good. He didn't look so good, but you know, defense came through apparently. I shut it off. But anyway, not because I was mad, I was tired. Not that I even really care. But anyway, okay. So anyway, I'm tying it in like this. I wanted Buffalo to win that game so bad because I've got Steelers. Remember, didn't I mention to you the Steelers fans at work? Didn't I say this on the air like not that long ago? Like last time we were here? I got Steelers fans at work. So if okay. Buffalo beat Miami, not only did they clinch the AFC East, and I have one of my warehouse manager is a Patriots fan, but they clinched the AFC East, right? So now they get to host Pittsburgh. And it's going to start snowing in Buffalo tomorrow. It's going to be a frozen mix tomorrow, Wednesday, and then it's just snow for like, I don't know, 4 weeks straight. So that should be a fun game. That should be a fun game to watch. I've been waiting for a bad weather game, and we've gotten some rain, but that's not any fun. I mean, don't you want to see a whiteout? Isn't that what like this time of year for NFL football is? It's so much fun.
Yeah, if Buffalo would have lost, I think they would have went to Kansas City, right?
No, if like Buffalo lost, they'd have to stay in Miami and play the Dolphins again.
No.
Yes. Yes. Almost positive. That's what I saw yesterday. But no, who's Kansas City getting instead? I can't remember.
Miami.
Okay. All right. At Miami.
That's why I thought. No, it's at Kansas
City. Oh, you're right. It is because Kansas City won the West. Okay. Right.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure there's
I can't stand in Kansas City. But anyway, it was a fun day of football yesterday, kind of. The Raiders taking care of the Broncos for like the 8th time in a row, which is awesome. And
Giants beat the Eagles.
Giants beat the Eagles. That was hilarious. I was even rooting a little bit for some Tyrod Taylor. And
hey, look, I want to bet at work. So that was
did
fun.
You? Oh, I won fantasy football over the weekend. I beat my son. I whooped his ass. I scored more points in that game than I scored the whole season any other game.
Yeah, I lost both my semifinals. Or I lost in the championship, sorry, in both of them. I came in second place. But
anyways.
Yeah, no, it was going to the game, it was fun. It was my first NFL game in a suite, you know. Kind of got the VIP treatment or whatever, but again, there was no touchdowns. It was all just this 3 field goals, 9-0.
Plus, you don't have a rooting interest really, so it's like,
well, and on top you're of just that, there like for food and beer. Like Charlotte is like 3 hours from here, so it's like, you know, we met up at like 9:30 in the morning, and I didn't get home until almost 8. So,
yeah, it's a long day.
In a long day on a Sunday when you're just going right back to work the next day. So
yeah, which I just thought you were gonna call out today. That's why I said I can do it whenever.
No,
I figured you were gonna be home.
No, I was okay. Good.
All right,
it's good. I had to drive, so you know. I mean,
I hear you.
And I am going to the North Carolina game this Saturday too.
You are.
I am.
Okay. All right. Thanks for the invite. Appreciate that. I could be there in 3 hours.
Long story.
Could be there in 3 hours. I could be there in 3 hours.
It wasn't my decision.
Oh boy.
I had an old Army buddy that's from Syracuse but you didn't know each other until basic training. And last time he came down to Raleigh, I kind of flaked on him. We didn't really hang out. He had some stuff going on and he hit me up and he was just like, dude, we're coming down. I got a group of friends. We're going to the UNC game and I got you a ticket because you're coming. So,
well, that should be fun. I hope that you can send some well wishes there for a W because the last time you went to UNC, we got smoked.
You can say me, but you went too, buddy.
We left at halftime, bro. It was a whole day trip for me. I left at halftime.
Hey, look, anyway. I mean, like you said, UNC's not going anywhere. So in my opinion right now, I've obviously, like, it's been, you know, I haven't been to the Dean Dome, so I want to go. Obviously, bucket list type stuff with us going to away games, right? So, but my expectations are exactly what I said, unless, you know, that could be the next game that could change it. But that's a top 10 team going to the tournament, and we've seen what we've done against those type of teams. So,
yeah,
hopefully that could be something different. But, yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm going for the experience.
Well, I mean, that's why you always go. Let's be honest.
Right.
So it's all about memories and having a good time. It's just the icing on the cake if your team wins. So anyway, that is going to do it for us. Not going to make any promises, but we will try to get back here as soon as we can. I know some people were happy. They thought this show was ending, but no, I'm sorry. We're still around, at least for now. Sorry to disappoint. We'll see you when we see you. For Joe, I'm Sean. We're out.
Peace.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.